Good morning and a very warm welcome to this service of worship coming to you from the community of St Andrew's and St George's West Church in Edinburgh on this, the 8th Sunday after Pentecost. My name is Rosie McGee, I'm the minister, and you will hear several other voices this morning. Our opening prayer is led by Wendy Davidson, our reader is Joanna McLeod, prayers of intercession are led by Carolyn Scott, and the choir of St Andrew's and St George's West are directed by Brigitte Harris. The vocal ensemble comprises Eleanor Cousins, Eleanor Wilson, Caitlin McGillivray, Drew Crichton and Andrew Carville. And piano accompaniment is provided by Jamie Lang and Eleanor Cousins. The service is produced and edited by Andrew Carville. Our order of service can be found on the website, and you're warmly invited to join in the singing and responses in bold type. Worship is a time to be. A time to be in God's presence. A time to be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. In Psalm 46, the psalmist conveys these words of God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. And in our being, we come to God in our responsive call to worship. The kingdom of God is within us all. The kingdom of God is found in the most surprising of places. The kingdom of God is hidden in the everyday things of life. The kingdom of God is small but very precious. The kingdom of God is here and now. Let us worship God, who reigns over the kingdom with love. And we join together in our first hymn, Be Still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here.
Still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Let us pray. Most wonderful God, we want to worship you with all that we have and are. Let your Spirit move in our hearts and minds so that we focus our whole being on you. You're always teaching us more about ourselves and about you. Help us always be open to discovering new ways of seeing and new ways of serving you. For nothing is hidden from you and nothing is foreign. You know and embrace the ordinary times and the extraordinary times. Lord, forgive us when we seek to operate out of our own strength rather than relying on yours, when we seek our own will rather than yours, and when we get distracted by voices other than yours. Remind us that your grace is more than sufficient. May we seek to lighten one another's burden however we can, by connecting, by listening, by being the neighbours you invite us to be. May we bear one another's burdens and share one another's grief. And in time, may we rejoice together in your love. In the midst of uncertainty and anxiety, may we see you quietly at work, calling us to follow. The way ahead may be unfamiliar, but you assure us that you are with us and will never leave us. May that assurance strengthen us to continue to step out in faith, holding the Christ light for one another, knowing that you go before us, ever leading us towards your kingdom. Hear us now as we pray together the prayer our Saviour taught, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our gospel reading this week continues Jesus' teaching through parables. Parables that evoke distinct elements of God's kingdom. The first two are about the surprising, sometimes hidden presence of God's reality, while a second set leans more in the direction of surprise and delight that we experience when we discover, even stumble upon, the peace and joy of the kingdom.
New Testament reading, Matthew 13, verses 31 to 33. He, Jesus, put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous, and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old.
At the beginning of lockdown, one item that disappeared quickly from supermarket shelves had no obvious link to cleanliness or to quarantine at all. That item was flour. Flour was soon nowhere to be found in the shops, and even 50-pound bags became unavailable on the internet. Yeast grew scarce, which led to a boom in sourdough starters bubbling up in airing cupboards all over the country. It appears that lockdown heralded a great Scottish bread bake. And it makes sense. Bread is core to life. It makes us feel a certain way. When the world is scary and uncertain, bread is like the poster child of comfort foods. As a child, I remember the tradition of taking bread fresh from the oven to the home of a grieving family. Somehow, in the midst of grief, comfort was found in the bread. Bread changes things. Bread changes us. I'm no baker. And bread has its own story to tell. Master baker Peter Reinhardt says that it takes 12 stages for bread to become bread. He puts it this way. Wheat is alive, then harvested and ground. We kill it. Then when we add water and salt, we turn it into clay. Stage 3, the fermentation or leavening, that's when the yeast gets added, is the most critical because that's when the dough comes alive. He describes this portion of the process as the leaven factor. When yeast gets wet and is mixed into the dough, it wakes up and the fermentation process begins. At the moment this begins, the dough is forever changed, transformed from unleavened to leavened bread. Once dough has been fermented, it has, in a sense, passed through its awakening and has been reborn as a new creature, ready to grow and become what it is ultimately going to be. Thus, bread making is the act of bringing ingredients that were once alive back to life, to new life. Who can hear these words without the image being filled to overflowing with Christ, the bread of life, the one who died and rose to new life for us? The one who was born in Bethlehem, which means the city of bread, who would become bread for the world. As we move out of lockdown, there is a sense of coming back to life combined with uncertainty about what life will look like. What can we learn from the leaven? Leaven is never about the status quo. Likewise, God's transformative work in the world is ongoing. In the parable, the woman literally hides the leaven in the flour. That which seems to be invisible is in fact mysteriously and inevitably performing its leavening work of forever change. The parable of the leaven is about transformation. A woman, I imagine, alone in her kitchen making bread, waiting patiently for it to prove so that she can bake it and feed her family. It's a domestic scene, but there is nothing domesticated about its message. One single woman is in one batch making over 70 loaves of bread, far more than would feed her own family. She has no freezer. That bread needs to be shared and shared widely, otherwise it will go off and get moldy. In the leaven, we find not the natural and the expected, but the supernatural and the surprising. At this time of family reunions, after perhaps months of separation, I imagine many grandparents are seeing how their grandchildren have grown in the intervening months. That's natural. But the image of the leaven is about the supernatural. By its very nature, a loaf is too much for any one person to eat on their own. Bread is meant to be shared. Baking bread is a hopeful act. Flour, yeast, water, and salt become something else meant to be shared. This uncertain present will become an uncertain future, and that too will be shared. What that means is up to us. We can learn from the woman, the single woman who is baking as if she will feed the world. And baking bread requires time. It's a reminder of patience, of the idea that you can't rush certain things, you can't rush yeast. It will take its own time. But in the right environment, it will multiply and prosper. And bread is also remarkably forgiving. Overproofing is fixable. If you don't mind giving yeast another chance to do its thing, which means more time, more waiting, more process. Baking bread is an investment in the future, a way of saying we will still be here after this crisis ends. In a way, it creates nostalgia, but it is nostalgia for the future rather than the past. It is to believe that the world will not just come back to life, but that it will be a resurrection rather than a resuscitation. The parable of the leaven is perhaps the most cosmic home economics lesson ever heard. For in kingdom economics, when we give of ourselves, we are not lessened, we are not diminished, whatever the external realities. Rather, we awaken and we change and grow into the people we were designed to be. Yeasts like little pellets of potential. Each of us has the potential to provide the leaven factor. Daniel Olson writes, "To the one who feels no trust, your trust can be her bread. To the one who feels no worth, the encouragement that lifts and builds can be his bread. To the one who feels downtrodden, an act of caring can be her bread. To someone who has a vision and a goal, someone to share it with can be her bread. To one who feels deep guilt, forgiveness can be his bread." So whatever type of bread you enjoy, whether sourdough or gluten-free, may every crumb remind you of your potential to be the leaven factor in God's kingdom, bubbling up and expanding and called to get out of the airing cupboard. It's all for the sake of the world and is fueled by God's love, a supply chain that can never be broken and will never run out. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Join in our prayers of intercession. The response to "May people see" is your love and your call. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, how thankful we are that you consider us to be your children. You assure us that nothing can separate us from your love. Lord, sustain all who seek to make you known across our world. May people see your love and your call. God of love and compassion, we pray for all who seek to make a difference in the lives of others. Be with carers and counsellors, medics and mediators. Be with those with listening ears and those with caring hands. Be with those who are weary or laid low. We name before you now those you have laid on our hearts. May people see your love and your call. God of justice and peace, we pray for all who seek to peace with justice. Be with the politician and the protester, the activist and the pacifist, the vocal and the silent. We pray for our sisters and brothers in Malawi and in South Sudan. We pray for the ongoing work of Amnesty International and Christian Aid. May people see your love and your call. Hear us and help us to see you in this day. Help us make your love known this day and every day. For you are the treasure, the pearl beyond all price. And you promise to bring the kingdom of heaven out of what is old and what is new. Most loving God, we pray, knowing that you are already doing things far beyond our capacity to understand or imagine. Give us eyes to see. Through Christ Jesus, our persistent Saviour, in whose name we ask and act. Amen.
As the service of worship draws to its close, our service in the world continues. Hear now these words of sending and blessing. Take the smallest seed and produce life. Add yeast to the bread of life and it will grow. Find the hidden treasure in your life. Invest all you have in living for God. Cast wide your net and haul in the catch. All these blessings and more are yours from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there for you today and always. Amen.